It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, thank you to Nick Costos for the lead-in and back from Wachusett. Here's our real bracketologist, Curtis.
I like Duke.
I don't like Duke.
That's my hot take.
You didn't even fill out a bracket this year, but you did have two picks yesterday. One for one, I think.
Yeah, one for one. There's brackets everywhere.
There are. I know.
It's raining brackets. I will say, like, there's the networks are happy right now because there's been a lack of big upsets. So the worse the games now, the better the games later on. And so CBS is thrilled. I would also add, and so is True TV. And I would also add that there's been one game in the first two nights that's hooked me. So Thursday night, it was Kansas and Calipari. So it was Arkansas-Kansas.
Yeah.
And last night, it was Ricky Pitino Jr. and New Mexico beating the 7-seed. I don't even know who that I was rooting for Rick Pitino Jr. because I like the story. But it's a
Marquette
when hard root against Farley, but I will say I was actually rooting against Trenny. But it's this amazing thing when you have a coach that's a son of a coach going on his own and being a head coach. It's a good thing. So seeing Rick Pitino Jr. do very nice.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we got Pitino Sr. and Cal 2:40 today. Arkansas St. John's. That'll be the big tilt down in Providence.
What a great spot that is for the tournament. Every year they should have it in Providence. It's everything's right there.
We should have done the show there today. Why are we not there? Who's leading the station?
I don't know. The malls.
A great opportunity. We should have been there.
We should have. We should do it in the bathroom in honor of Tully Bantakane.
Well, we were traveled out yesterday. Great trip to Wachusett. Thanks to the Crowley family and everybody for hosting us. You avoided the big cat up the hill. I had to go and ride sidecar with Wiggy, which was terrifying.
Yeah.
Coming down from the top of the mountain in that thing with Wiggy driving.
It doesn't work well on radio, I got to say. That was a bumpy one.
Well, it was more of a background vignette, like your weather reports on
the
road shows.
Well, I mean, who could forget the highly rated thatched roof?
Yeah, when we took you out to the covered roof, the covered bridge, that was a great moment in EEI history. But I will say the show yesterday was defined by the Wick Grosbeck interview. I would like to start Celtics Sale, if that's okay with you.
Chris Sale?
In your conversation. No. Well, the stronger Chris Sale, looking good, but not no contract. We'll
5 1/3.
Great spring. No extension. We'll get to the Red Sox.
Okay.
Lineup is out, by the way. Big three all in the lineup today, 1 o'clock.
Can we stop that?
Joe.
Can we think
what?
Of a new term?
What's wrong with the big three?
I'm big threed out. We had the initial one of the 80s, then we had the new big three, and now we have this
big
three.
Four with Mikey Romero?
Right. Well, I think it's the big four accounting firms. It's PwC, EY, KPMG, and Deloitte.
Very relatable. I'm excited about the Red Sox, even if you're not, and I will get you there.
Okay.
But you talked with Wick, who is staying on. You got to admit, the three-year transition period is it bizarre? Is it unprecedented in sports? It's very strange.
I feel like I'm contractually obligated to defend Wick because of the show I work on, but it's so weird. The whole thing is so weird. And the sort of just the defiant nature when I asked about, you know, a new stadium, and he's like, well, why would I talk about this now? It's like, I don't know. The team was just sold. You don't own the stadium.
Well, I did think it was revealing. He was so definitive, and even Bill Chisholm was when asked about that on NBC Sports Boston, that it's like a down-the-road issue. Jacob, do we have that cut of the new owner, Bill Chisholm, talking arena?
I didn't get that same feeling.
From Wick or from the new guy?
The new guy.
Okay, so here's the new guy on NBC Sports. This was Thursday night. He appeared with Wick.
With Chris Forsberg
and talked about arena and the future.
I got to ask again, the arena, it doesn't come, you paid a lot of money for this team. There's going to be questions. Have you started even thinking about that stuff as a businessman? Do you start thinking about
Can you stop right here
future,
for a second,
long-
Jacob? So, obviously, if you're buying a team for $6 billion, $2 billion more than the team that had previously set the record with the Suns, and I think it's the largest sale of any franchise in North American history.
Mm-hmm.
We're renting? I had no idea.
Well, Wick said, didn't he say yesterday that they're one of the top three or four revenue teams in the NBA currently? The system's not broken, that sort of thing. So they are, I can't say that's false, right? He's probably not lying. They're doing well under the current arrangement, right? Is that a fact?
I have no idea. I'm not saying he's lying, but there's a million ways you can create numbers to go to make things look rosier in your direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would agree. They probably have considered the arena issue at some point during the buying process.
I mean, maybe they were surprised.
Let's continue here, Bill Chisholm.
Thinking about that stuff as a businessman, do you start thinking about the future, long-term future of this franchise?
No, I really haven't put much thought into that.
Stop.
I mean,
okay, then don't listen to anything else he said.
Well, what's he going to say? I mean, you would rip him if he came in and said, yeah,
what?
We put a lot of thought into it. We might move the
team.
I
haven't put thought into the fact that I'm buying a franchise that doesn't own its building? That's the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
He has to say that. Everybody
knows
it. Why
does he have to say that?
If he doesn't, it's a PR nightmare.
Work with me. What's the nightmare?
The Jacobs family is going to be pissed beyond belief, and they are his tenants. So it creates legal drama right away.
What's the legal drama?
And by the way, the sale's not final.
Wait. What's the legal drama? They're not breaking the lease.
Well, they could be. They could be, you know, threatening it.
How many people leverage people currently under contract when doing negotiations in real estate deals?
It's also not a good play with the fans. You think that's a good move for him to come out and say, we're thinking about leaving TD Garden? People would be in a panic.
What?
He wants calm. People love the Garden.
What are you talking about? People would be in a panic?
Yes. Because it'd be Robert Kraft to Hartford all over again.
What are you? They're not moving to Hartford.
Well, people would speculate rampantly about everything and anything.
If he said, we're going to... Here, ready, Bill? New guy, Bill? This is how I would answer it.
Billy Banners?
I would say, Chris Forsberg, we've had the last 8 months working on a deal to purchase this team. We know the organization inside and out, and that's why we believe it to be worth $6.1 billion. Part of that is planning for the future, and we will maximize revenue in any way possible going forward, including a standalone arena.
That makes a story. That puts the gasoline on the fire.
So who's pissed about that? What's the PR nightmare?
The fans. We would be talking this morning about when are the Celtics leaving the city.
Fans don't like organizations that seek to maximize revenue so they can put the best team on the floor?
I could be wrong. My read of the city, I've only been here 15 years here in this stretch, but I get the vibe that the fans like the Garden and do not want to leave the city of Boston. Despite Wiggy pushing for Revere or wherever, East Boston or wherever he's pushing it for, I think he's in the minority. Would you not agree?
No, I would totally agree. I would not agree with that. I would say if you got a Conseco Failed House type building that was basketball centric, that didn't have gold seats for the Bruins, that didn't have...
People like
another thing. Another thing is, how many Bruins fans have we heard call in and they don't buy a single thing because they're done supporting the Jacobs? When you go to a Celtics game, you pay the Jacobs for beer. So why would they want to be paying the Jacobs, an ownership group they don't like, as opposed to supporting the Celtics, the team they're actually paying to go see? Arena that gets every year, you get the Final Four, maybe you get the Elite Eight. You get college games, you get whatever. It'd be awesome.
Well, whatever the
What's
arrangement.
What's the downside?
The arrangement currently is working. The downside is it stops working.
Wait, so you think that the new Cowboy Stadium really hurt Jerry Jones' ability to put a team on the field?
But it's a different market. If you have another facility here, they're already trying to get concerts to MGM Studios at Fenway and Fenway Park itself.
Do you know who wins if there's
Roadrunner down the road?
Do you know who there's wins if there is a lot of options? The fan.
Yeah, except if the Celtics suffer and can't afford, if they're not making as much revenue as they did. I mean, I think they would make more money. But I also think there's just something about the Garden and the location that people don't want changed. They don't want to move. They don't want to go to Foxborough to watch the Celtics play. Or
the Garden died in 93. This is the...
Yeah, but two titles.
The Shawmut Center.
I don't know. They renovated it. Nice horse statue out there.
Yeah, so how many titles they won here? So 16 to 2?
16 to 2.
Okay.
But most people who saw the 16 are not, you know, aging.
If we were talking about the Garden... You know, with the smoke-filled hallways, it's different. This is not at all in any way similar to that.
So I don't even know how to phrase this poll or this question to fans. I guess...
Would you support the Celtics getting a standalone facility?
But where? It's got to be where, right? Not just...
You want to have it in where? I don't know. That's, what, 40 minutes away?
The current... Talking to Rob Hale, minority owner, great guy, unbelievable guy. You guys talked to him. And I chatted with them off the air. It became very clear that they feel like this is a very difficult thing to get done in Boston. It's, what do you say, thread the needle? It's like they have to have the right mayor, the right conditions. It's a long shot. And they can't come in talking about it because it's very unlikely it's going
to
happen.
Okay, so what's a bigger long shot? Profiting to the extent that these private equity firms seek to do in this transaction without your own arena, with the escalating cost of great players... Or, if your option is build a standalone arena and retain Jalen and Jason and work in the double apron, whatever the hell these stupid terms mean. And I also
that was another great back and forth with you guys yesterday.
I also hate, like, do you know who creates the aprons? The owners.
Yeah.
So then don't bitch about it.
Well, no, and you heard Wick talk about the English Premier League and how out of whack it's gotten. You don't think these owners want, they put in.
So, but that's talking, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's bemoaning the fact that they put in. Actual on-floor team-related building penalties for spending too much money.
The anti-Golden State rules.
While simultaneously talking about how his six friends that own Liverpool and these other teams, are complaining about the crazed Wild Wild West of soccer in the UK.
What do you think is the bigger issue to come out of your chat with Wick? Is it the arena situation or is it
Jaylen Brown's gone.
The financial stuff
and
that? Yeah,
I mean, I think both are interesting, but I would say if I'm a fan of the team, there's not going to be arena in 6 years. Like, if they started it today, it would take 6 years in this city.
Yeah, so, that's probably true. It's probably so far out of sight and mind, and the ownership group did a good job. As you don't want to give them credit, but I think Bill Chisholm pushed that off. That's not a current front of mind topic.
Well, there's two things that they're going to be asked about. I think an arena is going to be more suitable to their supportive fan base than discussing the realities of their financial future. And I heard that from Wick yesterday. And the reason if I'm Bill Chisholm that I retain Wick Grosbeck, A, is probably because it had to be done to keep the deal. And B, he can be your Sam Kennedy. He can be the one taking all the bullets, going on the Greg Hill show, talking about the realities of the aprons and how you can't succeed and that we're going to have to trade these things. And this is why Brad Stevens is here and all of that. He is retained.
A lot of pressure on Brad Stevens. It's up to Brad to keep us compliant, basically.
Brad could go back to coach Indiana tomorrow and be the happiest guy around.
Chisholm, when he talked about Stevens, it was like adulation. He was like in awe.
But doesn't that tell you something, that he's going crazy about the executive, not the players?
Yeah. Here's that cut from Wick talking finances with you guys on the Greg Hill Show yesterday.
It's not the luxury tax bill. It's the basketball penalties. Okay, the new CBA was designed by the league to stop.
Pause. It was designed by the owners.
But maybe not Wick. He might not have been in favor of it, given their current situation.
Okay.
Don't you think it works against him now? He's one of the three teams in the
second.
What do
you think about his family that owns the 50%? Don't you think they're supportive of it?
Well, I don't think he's in line with his family. Do you think
who owns the team?
Wick yesterday sounded like a guy who didn't want to sell.
Right, and he does. He owns 1.5% more of the team than I do.
Whatever it is. But
so
I'm just
his
saying.
Family, which gets the vote in the CBA, I guarantee you supported it.
I get it, but you're like laughing at his statement. I think Wick's telling the truth about
this. The team voted to ratify the CBA in part because they wanted these measures implemented.
Okay, but I don't think Wick did. Go ahead. Here, keep playing.
To stop teams from going crazy. And they decided that it's not just good enough to go after the wallets, because then the fans are like, hey, you know, find somebody who can afford to spend, whatever, $500 million a year or whatever it is. The basketball penalties mean that it's even more of a premium now to have your basketball general manager, your basketball president, be brilliant and lucky, because you've got to navigate, because you can't stay in the second apron. Nobody will. I predict for the next, you know, 40 years of the CBA, no one's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years. So we have Brad Stevens, the reigning executive of the year, and thank God we do. He's the one that really brought us this championship with his brilliant moves. I mean, many other people, but Brad is forefront.
And pause. Okay, who drafted Jalen and Jason? At third overall.
Ainge.
Who do you think had a bigger role in bringing the title to Boston?
Yeah, but you got to give Stevens his due.
Wait. Nobody's saying that we shouldn't give him his due and he wasn't executive of the year. But nobody had more to do with it?
I guess that's arguable. I mean, you're right. Those are
what's arguable about it?
I don't think they win without Stevens making those trades.
Wait, do they win without Jalen and Jason?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's a debate. It's not a foregone. I would give Edge Ainge, I guess, just, but, you know. Could you have made those picks? It wasn't that obvious, too.
They weren't number one overall picks. Look who went before them.
Right, true. Okay. Just want to examine every angle.
All right, let's continue. Sorry,
finish it out.
Forefront, and he's looking at this, and he's going to extend our window and make it work. I believe he will, and we'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
So in the offseason, that's June and July, they will be projected to be $233 million payroll. They'll have $300 million in luxury tax. They'll be $20 million over the second apron, and if that happens, it'll be the third year in a row, and they have all kind of penalties which are coming down. So Brad's got to figure it out. And you heard Wick say later, the pressure's on while he's got full control of the team for one final year to win another one. Because he'll get to claim it. He'll get to hold the trophy up first, steal it away from Pags, hold it up first again for the third time. Next year, it's Chisholm first.
And right? I love Shaughnessy. So clearly Pags has been the whisperer, because he had the good column yesterday basically defending Pags and the dynamic there, which is it remains one of the more shocking revelations in my lifetime of following Boston sports, when we understood the dynamic of the Grosbeck family ownership portion. And in the Shaughnessy story, he notes at the start, Pag, self-made man, going into this with the, you know, a massive investment. And then the falling out here at the end was revealed in the post on social media when Pags was frustrated with the decision made by the family.
Your take on the Celtics sale and arena of the future and roster of the near future, 617-779-7937. Are the Celtics in a good place? They did get the job done in Utah last night, start of a long road trip. Jake has the details of that. We're here until noon, followed by Shime and Mego, and then Red Sox baseball at 1.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New owner Bill Chisholm, NBC Sports Boston, Thursday. Set to be approved this summer, I think, was the timeline, right? Wick said of the new ownership.
Yeah, Celtics. Wick said that they don't like to do things during the playoffs to announce things. So,
what's tough for Chisholm is, even Wick, early in your interview with him yesterday, Curtis, on the Greg Hill Show, he said he's going to come in and try to better it, and then caught himself. He's like, well, I don't know how you can better this franchise, because obviously Wick's very proud of what he's done, and the Celtics' history speaks for itself. But it is a weird place for the new owner to come into if he's got second apron problems right away. He's got an arena issue, which may or may not be down 10 years down the road in terms of revenue control. And by definition, what he's done to build his wealth are to buy companies, gut them, not gut them necessarily, but make them profitable and then resell them at a profit. So there's like this skepticism that, okay, are you a fan from Georgetown, Mass, going to come in and keep the team together, or are you going to act like you have built your wealth and come in and take over companies and change them and make them a revenue stream?
Yeah, I hate when we do the song and dance about it not being an investment, but something that is a passion play, and that they are doing this because they're from here and they love it. Listen, I'm sure Bill Chisholm is philanthropic. I'm sure he's going to come here and he's going to support and maintain and keep going with the Shamrock Foundation and all. Like, I don't know anything bad about him, so I'm not. This isn't personal.
Right. It came off well in his interview.
Seems
you say?
Like a nice guy. You know, it seems like a bunch of people I'd see, you know, after the round at Woodland. Very nice. But I would say simply, he has spent his life earning a fortune by coming into an industry, working in a company in that industry, understanding it, evaluating it, and maximizing revenue, then selling it. That's the definition of private equity.
Yeah.
And so you're going to come in here, and he knows he's buying at the ceiling. Like, the Celtics today, this year, talent, profitability, you name it, are at the peak of where they can be. They have their two stars, two top 10 players in the NBA under contract in their mid-20s, and they have a remarkably talented supporting cast with the best GM, potentially one of the best GMs in the sport. Where does Wick fit in with that?
It's a very... is he? He's not a minority owner. That's not been said, right? Is Wick going to be a part of the ownership group?
I don't
financially
think so.
At all? Probably not, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe he could keep his stake. I don't know. But he's going to... Yeah, that's right. It's like, if he's Sam Kennedy for them, if he's their shield, as you describe him,
right,
then he's going to be a spokesperson for the team, I guess, for the next 2 years.
But I don't know if I'd want my spokesperson saying there's no way he can do it better than I can.
I know. But I guess you're probably right. That's part of... Do you think that was part of the deal? Like Wick said...
If it was, that is really sad.
So, well, it's his right. I mean, I guess that might be Wick's condition to sell.
But his right, his family owned 40% more than he did.
I guess, but yeah, they obviously got a good number for it. $6.1 billion sounds like they didn't, they should be happy with the return, the arrangement.
Of course, everything worked out. I just, to me, we need this guy to come in here and to find a way to build or not build on what Wick has done. Whatever the team does, it's not going to be Wick's money behind it. Like, do you come in and buy an organization at this level and say, I'm just going to let it keep running. We're going to stay in the lease at the Garden. We're going to pay the luxury taxes, and we're just going to let this thing hum for 3 years. Do you think that that's his plan?
He could do that for a year.
But 3 years?
3 years seems like a stretch. I think after a year, he's going to want to get his hands dirty.
Why do you think he was interested in purchasing the team?
He is a fan going back. He, as he described there, he used to ask for Celtics tickets on his birthday. Had to go to the old Garden and sit behind a pole. Okay. So he was... Now he can have the best seats.
All right. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. It is very interesting. Now, the guy who procured the Wick Grosbeck interview, Greg Hill, has called in on the Ken and Curtis Show very early today. Would like to weigh in on the discussion, I guess. Or maybe he's just wanted to say hello. I don't know. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hold it.
You're
on the AAF
AAF
phone. God, are you still in Central Mass? Where are you?
What?
Put him on hold, God. Jacob. What is happening? Is he trolling us?
Oh, no.
Okay, he'll note.
Wick's doing a great job. I think Wick's amazing. I think that's...
Well, no, I mean, we're not bashing Wick.
I don't know. I mean, oh, my God. Yeah, so I would say it would be... the biggest takeaway in terms of Celtics fandom that I had from that interview yesterday with Greg and everybody was... They are going to make changes to the roster season.
Basically, it's up to Brad, but they have to make changes. Okay, there's Greg. Sounds like he's back in a better spot. Hi, Greg. Good morning.
Sound better now?
Oh, yeah. My God, 1,000%.
What the hell happened?
All right. I'm on my way to beautiful New Hampshire. I don't know what the issue was.
Okay. It's literally, we'll play it for you Monday.
Another shot at Maine, too.
Jeez. Yeah, don't say it's east.
Show sounds, as always, fantastic. I have a question for Curtis, though, because I'm assuming the same concerns you have about Billy Chisholm looking at this as a business opportunity only, you would have had about Pags, if Pags were to have been the guy who got the franchise.
Yeah, I would say Pags has a better knowledge when it comes to the inner workings of the organization. He has been someone that has been financially... I wasn't rooting for Pags. I was rooting, like you, for Rob Hale to be a part of it, and I'm thrilled that Rob's a part of the Bill Chisholm group. I just... The way in which these guys who take over these franchises speak, it's like, you know, I couldn't get, you know, a box set of Topps cards, so I bought the team because I just love them so much. Like, it's okay. Like, you could buy a suite at the Garden, and you could go to every game you want for far less money.
Yeah.
You buy the team because, you know, yeah, sure, vanity. I'm sure there's a part of it. It's really cool to walk around and say you own the Celtics. I'd love to do that one day. But it's also so that you can turn a profit. And
Pags seems like that same kind of person to me. Just he's been there for a while with a small equity piece. He made his living doing the exact same thing that Billy Chisholm has done. He did it at Bain Capital. So you were describing him as a self-made man or whatever. He did the exact same thing that Billy Chisholm did to get where he got his money, you know?
I didn't describe him as a self-made man. That was Dan Shaughnessy's story.
Dan Shaughnessy.
I said he's clearly a Pags guy because he kept saying in his column that Pagliuca was a self-made man.
I feel optimistic. Like, I feel like for us, for those of us, me and Wiggy and maybe even Courtney, we still have an in with tickets, and that's really like the only thing that I'm concerned about.
Right. I mean, is Sully being retained? That's the number one question everybody's asking.
That's the main question.
But Greg, question for you. But real quick before you go, do you take them at their word that the arena issue is a non-issue? Like, is this 10, we won't talk about it for 10 more years until the lease is up, or do you think...
I think I've become a lot more like Curtis. I don't take anybody at their word at any time. So I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I do think it, being serious, that he had to decide whoever was going to buy the team, unless they have some unknown agreement, and I don't know who they'd have it with, because you never know who the next mayor is going to be. They were willing to buy the team at that number, knowing and understanding the relationship that you have when it comes to your landlord and what that's going to look like on a profit and loss statement. So they were willing to value the team at $6.1 billion, knowing that they may have to, pay rent for another 10 years. So
that's true. Well, we got to get a regular caller photo for Greg and get that up on the Twitch chat.
I would like to pick an old one if I could. And the show sounds fantastic. Curtis, I'll see you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg. You, Greg. Have a fun weekend in New Hampshire. To me, the inner workings of the, you know, the dynamic of how the sale was made and what was done, like, I said it on the show. The Pags post felt weak. Like, it was like, okay.
Well, is there any doubt this was the best offer? I mean, I don't doubt that.
Well, the Shaughnessy column, which clearly comes from an angle of the PAG side, he includes some comments from the Grosbeck family, but, you know, it's there was something about debt and whatever. I don't know. You lose the fans when you start getting into the actual nitty-gritty of those types of offers, but whatever they do, they will be judged either positively or negatively based on the success that they have going forward.
And yeah, that's all I'm saying. He's walking into a tough place. Like, how can you better this?
But I will say, like, when John Henry bought the Red Sox and he said he was going to save Fenway Park, 99.9% of the people said that was a stupid, idiotic idea from a guy that didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And Larry Lucchino, you know, rest in peace, and Janet Marie Smith found a way to make Fenway into something that nobody...
Well, but that's what I mean. Look how different that was. They took over for what? The Yawkey Trust, who was just like non... They were like absentee owners. They were looking to move the franchise. And he comes in and says, yay, Fenway Park. And of course...
Well, after they had those awkward meetings in the Seaport by the no-name restaurant, but Pier 4. But yeah, so I say that there's... Of course the potential that Bill Chisholm comes in and he spends money wisely. For me... Whit Grosbeck said to the Globe during the build-up to the championship last year, and the multiple times he was on with the show, that money is not a factor. That's not what I heard yesterday.
Well, he did say the luxury tax wasn't a factor, but I read some NBA guys.
Money is not a factor. Money is what you get penalized for spending.
Yeah.
And he's saying now that it's not money, it's punitive measures, the Averin imposes on teams that maintain that level of spending.
Right. Can't use the mid-level exception anymore.
Right.
Or can't trade first-round picks like, that are 7 years down the road.
I don't want to trade anybody right now. Just keep the whole team together for 6 years. Why not?
I think he's saying you can't. I think he's saying nobody in the NBA could do this. Brad will try, but we can't keep it together.
Right. So that's totally opposite. The CBA had been ratified before the playoffs last year.
Right.
So why didn't he say that last year?
Because now this is the third year. That's when the penalties kick in. No. In year three of the second apron.
Okay. That was the case last year.
Well, no, they were in the second year of the second
apron. No, but this CBA existed.
Okay, yeah, but he didn't want to say that last year. Now he's telling you it's coming. This is the big offseason.
Do you believe what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So he didn't say this last year. But he knew he was going to say it, and he was going to sell the team.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he knew he was going to sell the team. Don't you think Irv surprised him with that?
Well, we were all surprised to know how powerless he was in the decision.
I know, but he sounds like a guy who does not want to sell. He's staying on 3 years. He made that a part of the deal.
Right.
It's all interesting. I don't know. It is fascinating, to use our former friend's word. 617-779-7937. New owner coming in. For the Celtics, who were in pretty good shape.
401, great morning host, S.E. Collin.
Well, you know, again, the phone was a challenge.
It was
great. We got to figure it out. It might have been on our end. Might not even been
sure, I'm sure it was Ken's fault. We have a way that we turn these down. But
back to some of the Garden. We were talking facility, which maybe, you know, it could be boring, especially if it's not going to happen. But 774 texter, getting to and from Boston is awful anytime between 8 and 8. It seems every day now. The Garden, like many indoor facilities, are just pumped up music. So I guess you have some people who would be open to moving it out of the city. It just wouldn't feel right to me.
Greg, Ken, it's all about how they build it, what it has, new shiny object that's going to be 30 years younger than the TD Garden. Mm-hmm. With all the Celtics-related stuff, it would be phenomenal. They could put
just
in
like Fenway, renovate it.
But they could do like a Celtics place presented by Raytheon inside of it. Think of all the historical Hall of Fame. You know, it's the
Why
most
can't they do that now?
Inside the Garden, where?
Just adjacent. You got the new Timeout Market there. They're expanding.
They don't own it.
Well, they buy it then. This guy can buy it. This guy, by the way, they did the Globe did a piece on like how he made his money, and it's pretty interesting. It goes through his Bain Capital starting, as Greg said. They bought...
Was it in the metaverse?
No, I don't think it was.
Oh.
But Symphony, this company, recently, they bought this company RSA based in Burlington for $2.1 billion from Dell. They're obviously going to sell that probably at some point. They bought $4 billion for part of McAfee's cybersecurity business. So they've been buying up all these companies for billions of dollars elsewhere. And I assume, could they turn this into a $50 billion sale in 10 years?
No.
$10
billion? $50 billion?
I don't know. These numbers just keep going up.
The NBA's revenue is at $50 billion.
Well, Bronny's going to play. It's going to spike. I mean, it's wait till he gets in there.
My guess is it is in 2 years, Jaylen Brown and Wick are both not part of the organization.
In 2 years? Boy, they'll have to drag both kicking and screaming.
So after this year, two full seasons, Wick and Jaylen are not here.
Traded as a package deal.
Yep.
You could reunite with Ainge.
For McAfee and some other security system online.
And an English Premier team.
Right.
617-779-7937. Kenny Curtis with you until noon. I do want your Steph Diggs reaction from the week. He was in. He followed Drake May on social media.
Oh, God.
Is this a good signing if it happens?
Did he post La Familia?
And Aaron Rodgers might have a new team. Made a visit yesterday. We'll talk a little NFL next. Steph Diggs highlights from the Bills days. He actually was not... Correct me if I'm wrong, Curtis. He was not a problem with Houston, right? Even though they released him. The Texans liked Diggs. There were no stories before he got hurt this year about him being a problem there. Were there?
I didn't hear any, no. And C.J. Stroud was out this week sometime recently saying that he loved playing with him.
Do you dig it, the Steph Diggs parlance?
Absolutely.
And if they sign him, does it fix everything?
Oh, of course not. But this is, we had the privilege for a generation of always being a player or two away from a Super Bowl. That has long gone. That's in the booth and doing airplanes on Jupiter Inlet. So
is he going to get a Pats game this year, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know if he really does them, but still don't. But who knows? I don't. He was fine. He's not the greatest to ever do it. He wasn't as bad as you hoped. So it was kind of a win-win.
By the way, Wiggy sharing some Fox News story that Ivanka Trump is getting jiu-jitsu training.
Yeah, that was a send. That was after.
Ivanka Trump is getting jiu-jitsu training in studio owned by Brady's new ex-new boyfriend.
I mean, talk about it.
Brady's ex's new boyfriend.
Right. Donald Trump famously wanted Tom and Ivanka together. That would have been a much better call.
Man, you get down to Billionaire's Bunker and stuff just goes awry.
Pineapples everywhere.
This is why Greg doesn't buy in Nantucket.
Right.
He just travels there.
No. Well, I don't know if he would apply the same practices as a business owner as he would as a radio host.
Diggs. Back to Diggs.
So back to Diggs. So the... why didn't he have Spaz work at Flank? Anyway, so Diggs...
Spaz did work at all his establishments.
Right. I think that Steph Diggs is someone that will make the job of Drake May easier. It will allow the guys that frickin' Frack drafted to potentially have a chance to come through and Elliot Wolf and Al Groh's kid. And you see if you can get something in Baker or Douglas or Bourne or one of those guys. And everybody sort of fits into a different role. I'm just deeply frustrated at the way in which Wiggy and I were talking about this yesterday, how passive they are. Like, why not go after Devontae Adams? Why not, you know, I understand Godwin wasn't going to come here. There's a million people that you could have targeted and acquired. Why is it always like you're going to Filene's basement on Christmas Eve?
Well, and back to the Diggs, like, because I agree, I'm kind of excited about it. He's 31, but he's good. Like, even last year when he played, he was pretty good. He was productive. He becomes Drake May's top target, as long as he's not a problem.
Twice a year, he's going to be a problem for the Bills. He's going to have that game.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll have an opportunity. What's the downside?
The downside is he's not going to be healthy to start the year because he's coming off a torn ACL.
Okay.
That's
the guy. Patriots love guys that aren't healthy to start the year.
For some reason, he and Josh Allen didn't get along. He wanted out, right?
Yep.
And I don't know if it was Diggs as a diva or maybe Josh Allen is not a great leader or something will happen.
What happens at the infancy of almost all of these acquisitions, even going back to Randy Moss and Tom Brady, there is a period.
A honeymoon.
Where they are successful and they're good. And then the rubber meets the road when the player that got it there on a bargain or less than market value demands market value and you either pay it or move on. And if Steph Diggs, after year one, is really good and demands, you know, some crazy amount of money, I'd probably still do it, but I wouldn't have the same rubber stamp to definitely do it. You know, we'll see what Drake May is after a year with the talented receiver, and you can move forward and understand it, but you need to be in good games. The quicker we get Drake May into meaningful late December games in the NFL, the quicker you'll know exactly what you have. And with this defense, you'll have an opportunity, I think, to be in every single game. And whether is Drake May going to continue to throw the late game picks? Is he going to have the fumbles, which I don't think were his fault, but the offensive line sucked? We'll be able to understand and ascertain his true worth to this organization the sooner you get more talented people around him.
Okay, now, there was a story from ESPN about Diggs, and it kind of describes him as like a diva who wanted, if every receiver got one rep, Diggs wanted five. Diggs had been described by several sources as well-liked by teammates. Sentiments were apparent in his early days, blah, blah, blah. And they had a great romance early, but then maybe they felt like they didn't need him. They had younger guys coming up, and he wanted too much of the pie.
Right,
but they had other guys who could get the job done.
Josh Allen today is Josh Allen without having the opportunity to work with Steph Diggs for those years.
Okay, but here's my concern. They bring in Travis Hunter, which seems like that's building.
Definitely going to happen now.
So is Diggs a good pairing with him if he wants the ball 10 times a game?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and is Hunter...
Would you rather Travis Hunter be double-teamed?
Well, they do have shoeless Matt Collins to take some of the coverage away. No, I like it. I'm just trying to... You said, what's the downside?
There is none. They could cut him in training camp if he's a problem, and it's no big deal. What's the downside? Tell me.
The only other possible downside is the Drake May... They were worried about bringing in a guy that was going... Wasn't that the narrative earlier?
Right, but that was all just a lie.
Fake?
It's all nonsense. Nobody has been more spun by this organization than Tom Curran. You hear it twice weekly here on this radio station.
He's certainly briefed.
He's certainly briefed.
He's
now,
good brief.
He literally said a week ago, they don't want to go after these guys because they don't want problem receivers. And then he said they're in on Steph Diggs. And he said it all makes sense. It doesn't, because there is no plan. And the reason why the Patriots have been so rudderless and so directionless has been because Robert Kraft hates bad press. And he's been disconnected. And so he sits back down and he's like, well, they want this guy. Let's get him. You know, I trust Mike Vrabel's ability as a coach. I think he's a guy that understands his business. But I hate the fact that this offseason has been so one-sided on the side of the ball that needed none of the help.
And, well, McDaniel's obviously running the offense here. Greg Bedard, I saw make this point first, a good point. Ben McDaniels is his brother, who's an assistant coach for the Texans. So they must know Steph Diggs and his character pretty well. His brother worked with him all year, and they didn't have a
problem. So then why didn't his brother get Tunsil here? What a whiff that was.
Yeah, that's true. Should have got his brother here, too. Just have both McDaniels working things.
You need people from Roger Williams. Now, that is a football factory.
Okay, so we both like it. Do you think it's going
to
happen?
Roger Williams? Where do you go to school in Ohio?
No.
Roger Williams is Rhode
Island. Carroll, maybe.
John Carroll, there it is.
But do you think it's actually
Marty Smith.
Marty Smith. Do you think it's actually going to happen, Diggs to the Patriots? Why hasn't it happened yet?
I would say not going to happen.
Really?
Yeah. Get ready to get
disappointed. Because of money?
Just because, yeah, of course.
But I don't know where...
Why would you let him leave the facility? Wiggy was on this yesterday. Why?
They're waiting for the medicals to come back? Like, they give him the MRI?
And they have to go to, like... who is it?
They go to CVS to get...
No, what's the online company that gives you blood results?
University of Phoenix?
Sure. You have to wait for the return. 2 hours.
Yeah.
Get the metabolic panel.
Yeah. And in the meantime, he followed Drake May. He wants to see what he's like on social media.
Followed Drake. I mean, he's a great follow.
Now, Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh yesterday. Jameis Winston into the Giants.
Does Aaron Rodgers know how bad the Italian food is in Pittsburgh?
That's my hometown. That's not Pittsburgh. That's
okay,
Greensburg. I mean, you've got to give Pittsburgh a bad rap. I live in Redneckville in the eastern suburbs. Yep. Nobody's claiming to have good Italian food.
You actually, in your yearbook, said the only liberal in town, which I thought was nice.
I may have been. I was the only one unarmed, I can tell you that.
Oh, that's why you moved to Brookline. God.
I feel safer.
Right.
Pittsburgh and Rodgers is a weird...
So weird. I loved
connection.
Cam Hayward saying that this week. Like, who cares? Yeah. Like, sign him or don't sign him. Don't beg him to come here.
Well, yeah, they love Cam Hayward. I don't know about Rodgers, but I guess they're desperate. I mean, what else is out there?
I mean, you tell me. I'm not, I'm not as connected through family that the Tomlin not winning a playoff game, he is, I know he got the extension, but the fan base is grumbling about Tomlin.
Big time.
So,
I mean, he just has the protection of the Roonies, and they'll never fire him, I guess. But
this is good news for the Patriots in the AFC because it's going to be dysfunctional. Aaron Rodgers, like,
will Jameis work with the Giants? By the way,
no, of course not.
It's
why would he work with the Giants? I mean,
maybe New York just
Honestly, the Raiders getting Geno Smith for what they did is pretty good, considering the offseason that many of these teams have had.
And I'm telling you, Joe Milton is still there.
And Coward has
dangled that Joe Milton pick.
Coward has the Patriots as a playoff team, by the way.
Does he really?
Yeah. Oh, God. 9-8.
That's the kiss of death.
Yeah, so they'll be 4-13 again.
Well, there's the week in or last couple of days in Patriots in the NFL.
But do you think they want him in Pittsburgh, like the fan base? Do they want Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, because they have nobody else.
You know what Tom Brady did? He killed the Steelers. Like, even when he's done, he kills the Steelers. Because Aaron Rodgers looks like every 40-year-old quarterback that's ever lived. That's what happens. Look at Drew Brees. Look at Peyton Manning. Look at all these guys. Recently, with all the HGH and flights to Germany and your wife's pills, all of it, they still look like garbage.
On the other side, you've got the shining specimen of athleticism that is Garrett Crochet.
Oof.
What a ace that looks like. You and I talked to him at Fenway.
Yeah.
He is a baseball player. That guy is a no-nonsense ball player. He's ready to strike dudes out.
You should have heard his thoughts on the Epstein case.
He didn't get into much besides baseball, but I like that. Will they extend him? I would like to talk a little Red Sox with you. I know you grumbled at my lead yesterday.
It was awful.
I had a great
one
lead.
One of the worst ones.
We're still getting feedback on it.
I mean, we'll expand Jackson on had that. A lead about discounts at Costco.
Was that better?
It was. No, I will say yours was better.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk more about that next.